Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
How do you do? Mrs. Betty Jo Tucker feels it would be a little unkind to present this show without just a word of friendly warning. We are about to unfold the story of Movie Addict Headquarters, a radio show that dares to rant and rave about all things cinematic. It deals with the mysterious shadows flickering on the silver screen without all the sticky soda spills on the floor. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we warned you.
Hi, all you movie fans out there. This is Betty Jo Tucker welcoming you to our 7 years of movie fun anniversary party. Now, that scary voice you heard, I hope didn't frighten you all away, but that actually belongs to our co-host today, Mad Movie Man A.J. Hockery, and I'd like to bring the real A.J. on right now. Thanks for agreeing to co-host our party today, A.J. Please tell our listeners where that amusing intro came from.
Thanks for having me on, Betty Jo, and before we begin, this is the anniversary show, 7 years of Movie Addict Headquarters, and it has been a pleasure being brought on to talk about my lifelong love, which is movies, and getting to play, like, different characters for you and talk about different situations. Like you started this show when I was still in college, so a lot of these shows you had me on were recorded while I was, like, lying on my bed in my dorm room, so it's bringing back memories. But that little intro there was a little takeoff of the beginning of Frankenstein, where I believe it was Edward Van Sloan who came out to the audience and, you know, just prepared them that what they're going to see is a little bit unsettling. And, you know, whenever I'm on the show, it's obviously a very scary occasion. So hopefully I haven't frightened any of your listeners off.
I don't think that you frightened anybody off. And in fact, we have a caller already who has asked to talk with you, and I think possibly about the movie Frankenstein. And the reason I opened the show with that intro and with a mention of that movie is because it's the movie that actually started me on my road to movie addictdom. So let's see who this caller is. Hello, area code. Well, it's a very strange area code. I can't make it out, but who am I speaking with?
Oh, hello, Betty Jo. It is Boris Karloff. I want to thank you, Betty Jo and AJ, for mentioning my favorite movie today. It was my pleasure to play the monster in that classic horror film.
Oh, my gosh, Boris Karloff, how nice of you to call in. You know, it must not have been easy for you to do this, but this isn't the first time we've heard from you. It was such fun talking with you and your friends Bela Lugosi and George Bettinger on one of our previous shows. So thanks so much for calling in today. Is George with you now?
Georgie, where are you? It is me, the Count. I am looking for you. I'm busy working in the Empire State Building, but Betty Jo Tucker is on the phone. Yes, of course I'm here. Hi, Betty Jo. This is wonderful. I want to wish you a very happy 7th anniversary.
Oh, thank you so much, George, and I'm just so happy that you could could be here and bring your friend, Boris Karloff, with you. But while you're on the line, do you have a favorite Movie Addict Headquarters episode you'd like to mention?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, I love all the shows you do. They're wonderful. It's a time capsule, and it really represents the beauty of motion pictures. I have a favorite. My favorite episode that I enjoyed the most was one that I got the privilege to actually be on. It was the tribute to Mickey Rooney, and that was amazing with James Colt Harrison and Diana Sanger. That was amazing. Wonderful, wonderful show.
Oh, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, George, because Diana and James are here, and we'll be talking with them a little bit later. But I thought that was a very fun episode myself. I enjoyed it. And I'm wondering, AJ, do you have anything that you'd like to ask George or Mr. Karloff?
Yeah, actually, Mr. Karloff, you know, first of all, it's wonderful that you're able to be on the show. Like, your connection must be amazing out there in the afterlife. You know, you must have got a lot of great bars out there.
Oh, yes, we have what you would call a ghost-to-ghost hookup from where I am. It is quite a long distance, and I'm having my dinner, my antipasto, if you may, and some wine.
Actually, I was going to ask you about antipasto, so there goes my question for you.
Well, I'm sorry you weren't able to bring Bella along with you. I wonder if Mr. Lugosi is hiding from us today.
Yeah, well, you know, he's at the blood bank. He's making a small contribution. He doesn't like to give up too much. He's kind of like the Jack Benny of vampires, but he may stop by later.
Oh, good. Well, thank you very much for calling in, George, and I hope you'll stick around, and thanks to you, Mr. Karloff, for calling in. But I know you must be busy with all of your various afterlife activities, so why don't we will let you go now, and we appreciate you showing up, and we hope to hear from you again soon.
Oh, absolutely, and Betty Jo, I just want to say that my fans are your fans, and people who tune in to the Mom and Pop Shop on Dreamstream Radio, I play your promos all the time, and we have a lot of mutual friends, and it's just growing and growing, and I wish you the very best, and everybody else on your panel today.
Thank you, George, and it's a treat to hear from you and from Mr. Karloff, and I want to remind everyone to check out George's very entertaining Mom and Pop Shop show on Dreamstream Radio. You can hear it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Once you start listening, you'll be not only a movie addict, but you'll be a Mom and Pop Shop show addict. AJ, I think we're going to have lots of fun today highlighting a few of our most popular shows and famous guests, and we are expecting call-ins from James Colt Harrison and Diana Sanger, and we'll be giving away 4 film-related books. But before we get started, I want to mention that our producer extraordinaire, Nikki Starr, wasn't able to be here today, and she's very sorry about that, and we miss her a lot because she does so much for the show. She's been here since the very beginning, but she did manage to put noisemakers and streamers and balloons in the chat room. So I encourage any listeners who want to participate in the chat to please do so, and I think you'll find it very festive there. Now, AJ, as our co-host, you get to ask the first question to me about Movie Addict Headquarters.
All right, Movie Addict Headquarters. As we mentioned before, it is in its 7th year. It's been a fantastic 7 years of all sorts of great topics being discussed, all sorts of guests you had on to discuss them. But before we go too far into the past, let's focus on the now and the recent. So, Betty Jo, what have been the top 10 episodes of Movie Addict Headquarters for the last year? Out of the 52 weeks, which ones have been the cream of the crop?
Oh, wow. That's a tough question because it was such an interesting year, AJ. And as you mentioned, we've interviewed directors and producers and cinematographers and screenwriters and choreographers and comedians and actors and authors and special effects experts and lots of film critics. They were all fascinating, so it is difficult to pick the most popular. So I kind of chickened out on that, and I went to the statistics to find out about the number of archived listeners, because most of our listeners do listen in the archives. So I did find out the top 10 shows that were most listened to this past year, but because James Colt Harrison and Diana Sanger were involved in some of these shows, as you were, AJ, I'd like to bring them both on now. Ladies first, as usual. Hi, Diana. Thanks for joining our anniversary party.
I just wish I was there to pop balloons. It's so exciting, Betty Jo. Congratulations.
Thank you, Diana. It's always great to have you with us. And the same goes for your colleague from La Jolla. James, how are things in beautiful La Jolla?
Well, they're just as beautiful as always. That's why I'm here.
Well, you don't stay there, though. Didn't you just come back for another trip in Spain?
Yes, I was in Spain, my usual. Well, my brother lives over there, so I go visit him. So I get a cheap place to stay.
Great, great. And how does Spain compare with La Jolla?
Actually, southern Spain is very much like the La Jolla, San Diego area, the same flowers and, I don't know, the ambience and the weather. It's all very similar. It's beautiful.
Well, we're glad that you made it back in time to be with us here and celebrate our 7th anniversary. And I think most of our listeners know that James Colt Harrison is our favorite film historian, and Diana Sanger is not only the founder of Classic Movie Guide, but she's also an award-winning author for her very sizzling romantic novella, Deadline Romance, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that a little bit later. But AJ, I know the suspense must be getting to you. So finally, here are the top 10 most listened to episodes during the past 12 months of Movie Addict Headquarters. And
do we have a drum roll?
Yeah, we should have a drum roll on the
drum roll.
I don't know. I'll have to look on the switchboard to see if we have a drum roll. We should at least have one for the number one. Although, if the episodes that aren't included are some of my very favorites, and I don't want people who aren't mentioned or episodes that are not mentioned to feel that they're being neglected, because as far as I'm concerned, every show is a winner. But all right, here we go. Number 10, Romancing the Oscar. And that was an episode that we ran for Valentine's Day, and it featured filmmaker David Spaltrow and film critic Marilyn Ferdinand. Now, David Spaltrow is the director of just a really beautiful independent film called Things I Don't Understand, and Marilyn Ferdinand is the person in charge of Ferdy on Films, which is a terrific movie-related website. And we had quite a discussion during that episode about the films that are romantic, the romantic films that have been nominated or won Best Picture Oscars. So that's number 10. It was really a fun show and a very interesting discussion. Number 9 was a rerun, and that's the interesting thing about Movie Addict Headquarters, too. We can rerun earlier popular shows, and they still get a lot of listeners. So number 9 was George Clooney Time, which was a tribute to George Clooney, and that featured Kimberly Potts, who had written a biography of George Clooney titled George Clooney, The Last Great Movie Star. And Diana Sanger, I believe, was also on the show when it originally ran. We did do a little update of George Clooney on that, on this, not just a rerun, and that was number 9. Number 8, this is very interesting, 6 years of movie fun. So it was our last anniversary show that turned out to be number 8. And it was co-hosted by the great Morgan Lawrence, who is, besides George Bettinger and A.J. Hockery, is the guy we go to for any voiceovers. Morgan Lawrence played Sebastian the Crab on one of our shows, Kermit the Frog, Fozzie the Bear, Charles Dickens, and we had a lot of fun last year at the 6 years of fun anniversary party. Number 7, Kevin Costner Update. That was also a rerun with, at the end, an update of what Kevin Costner had been up to the past year. 3 movies that came out earlier in the year. One of them that I really enjoyed, Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit. Haven't seen the 3 Days to Kill or Draft Day. And then we also did a little report on his band, Modern West, and we might have a chance later, depending on the time, to listen to one of the numbers that Kevin Costner did with that band. I'm just looking for the day when Kevin makes a musical, of course. And episode number 6, Special Effects Wizardry. We had such fun talking with Dragon Drone and Chuck Skull, who are both experts in special effects. They've done work for movies like Planet of the Apes and Scorpion King. And it's really one of my shows where I learned so much about model making and what goes into special effects. And again, I want to remind everybody that all of these episodes are available to listen to in the archives. Now, we go to the top 5. Number 5, the Mary Poppins 70th Anniversary Party. And that was so much fun. We had Nell Minow, the movie mom. We had A.J. Hockery, the mad movie man. And we had Richard Jack Smith, our Real Talk Reviews, a critic who lives in Wales and is the author of a fascinating book, Incidental Gold. Number 4, Oscar winner Rita Moreno. Again, a rerun of Rita Moreno's discussion with Robert Osborne, host of Turner Classic Movies. And Diana Sanger and James Cold Harrison were both on that show, and they can attest to the fact that Robert Osborne and Rita Moreno hadn't met each other before. And so they were delighted to talk together, and they kind of took over the show and just kind of moved along without too much of interruption from Diana and from James and from me. We ran that episode because Rita Moreno had just received the Life Achievement Award from Screen Actors Guild. And now we're getting to the top 3, Twist of Lemon, with Chris Lemon, Jack Lemon's son, talking about his famous father and the beautiful memoir that Chris has written about his family and about his father, Jack Lemon. Okay, number 2, Hollywood or Bust. And that was an episode featuring Susan Marg, who has written this book called Hollywood or Bust. And the rest of that title is quite interesting. Let's see. Movie stars dish on following their dreams, making it big, and surviving in Tinseltown. And guess who was the co-host of that show? James Cold Harrison. And now
Yay.
This is where we should... Yeah! And now this is where we should have the drum roll, because the number 1 episode, the most listened to episode of the past 12 months, was Fathers on Film, and that was an A.J. Hockery, and Nell Minow, the movie mom, and the mad movie man were both on that show, and we talked about Nell's new book. It was new at that time, Must-See Movies, Fathers on Film. So there we have the top 10, and I want to say congratulations to all of the people involved in those episodes. and to the other episodes and guests who really gave them tough competition. So, AJ, what do you think about those top 10?
I think it's a pretty good top 10. I would say James kind of has the market cornered on, like the guest turning in there. I don't know if he's got some plenty of friends out there or any money's being exchanged. There's a distinct lack of AJ on the list. I'm just kidding. James, it's always been great talking to you, and, you know, for you to pop up on so many lists, for all of you guys to pop up on the list is a pleasure to listen to. All of you guys have been great to talk with and to listen to over the years.
Oh, you know, it's great because it does cost me an awful lot of money to pay off all these people to send in votes.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Diana, early and listen often.
Diana, what's your opinion of those top 10? Any comments that you'd like to share?
Well, every single show you do, Betty Jo, is a jewel. But to have the top 10 in the crown, I think that's just it was spot on, and you know, the reasons are evident, that the guests you have, the Hollywood stars, the people who know so much about film, it's just so entertaining, and it's just too bad that you're not on TV. Late night, Betty Jo Tucker, what do you think?
Yay! Oh, I hope not. Thank you very much, but I hope not. I hope that doesn't happen.
Wonderful.
You know what? I think let's take, before James and Diana and AJ start thinking about the movie, the episodes that are your favorites, not just from the past year, but from 7 years. And while you're doing that, I'm going to play a little bit of Kevin Costner's Superman from with his band Modern West. And I've actually found that on the switchboard without Nikki being here. So
wow.
I'm going to just put that on now. Here's Kevin Costner and Superman.
Superman flying over muddy rivers, counting everything from 1 to 14, over roads where them sunflowers grow. I can see from here to eternity, and I see you around. I'm gone. I see you around. I see you around sometime in the sky. Dust bowl dirt, baseball, Buddy Holly, black tennis shoes, dirty old t-shirt, streets carved out of caliche, it's space in my bicycle's bows. Yeah, well, I can ride from here to Amarillo on my motorbike. Try to just for kicks. I'm the ace of spades. must have broke somewhere along old Highway 56. So long, goodbye, and adios. I'm gonna miss this town. You stood there waving in the wind until I turned around. We laughed so hard, I thought I'd cry until the day I died. I feel like Superman flying over muddy rivers, counting everything from 1 to 14. Over roads where the sunflowers grow, I can see from here to eternity.
Well, that's just a little sample, and I think that guy has some talent for a musical. What do you think, AJ?
Yeah, it's pretty good for Costner. I didn't expect him. I didn't even realize he had a band till just now. But yeah, not too shabby, I gotta say.
I don't think it's shabby at all, and so I'm working on that. You know, seeing if we can talk him into doing a musical. But AJ, we have mentioned that this is the 7th year anniversary party, so we probably should cover that entire period. And Diana and James have agreed to share their favorite Movie Addict Headquarters episodes, and then of course I know you want to, and so do I. So Diana, why don't you go first on that?
Okay, can you hear me? I got disconnected.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Oh, good. Well, one of my favorites, because I laughed so hard my stomach hurt for hours, was the September 15th, 2009 show we did with Tony Curtis. Because he was getting up there, and I don't know if he was a little tipsy or whatever, but he was just on another planet. And he didn't even get our names right. He kept calling you Betty Culpepper, and he called me all right, Diana. And what is he calling you, Jim?
He called me Jane, J-A-N-E.
Jane.
Jane.
the whole show was hysterical.
It was hysterical, and I am glad that you mentioned that. I do feel a little bit embarrassed that we laughed, but you couldn't stop. And of course, I'm very sympathetic to Tony, or I was at the time, because I have a hearing problem. And he did, too, at that time. I think that was one of the last interviews that he did before passing over. And he wasn't, you know, things were not getting through to him. So, but I, the thing that he said to me, I've just cherished it. He said, "Betty Culpepper, what a great name. And if I got the movie for you, listen to this. Montana Skies, starring Betty Culpepper." And that just thrilled me. That really thrilled me. And James, I know that you haven't forgotten that particular episode. Am I right about that?
Well, actually, Diana stole my thunder, because I was going to pick that as my all-time favorite show. I had met Tony Curtis several times over the years, beginning with Some Like It Hot, back in the old days with Marilyn Monroe. And he'd always been really nice, and I always enjoyed him. He was very nice. And then to meet him later, I guess he was about 84 when we talked to him, it was sad, but yet it was, you couldn't help but laugh, because it was one of those dithering kind of performances, and it was just hysterically funny. But he was still very, very sweet and very, very much the movie star, and I always, always enjoyed Tony Curtis.
Yes, and I enjoy his performances. I still like to watch them whenever they show on Turner Classic Movies. So we were really lucky. We were really fortunate to have Tony Curtis on the show, and we have a lot to remember. I think Jazz Shaw, who was our co-host on that show, found it to be quite a controversial show. Listeners, if you haven't heard the Tony Curtis show, remember it is in the archives, and that don't be too shocked, because you've been warned, but I think it's really something to listen to. So that is quite an episode to mention. And James, do you have another one other than the Tony Curtis one?
Well, actually, I really enjoyed the Rita Moreno and Robert Osborne show because both Diana and I have met both of those people, and they're both lovely, lovely people. I can't say enough about Robert Osborne. He's just a sweetheart. And years ago, Diana and I interviewed Rita Moreno in Hollywood, and, of course, we were on one of Robert Osborne's tributes to films in University of Georgia, at Athens, Georgia. So I enjoyed that show, having them talk together, and I also enjoyed the Marilyn Monroe on the Couch show by the lady who wrote the book, and I don't have her name.
Oh, yes, and that was during this past 12 months. It was quite a different type of...
It was in February, yeah.
Yes, it, quite a different type of show. And lots of revealing stuff about Marilyn Monroe. So that's a good one to bring up. And I've forgotten the author's name too. Shame on me. But
yeah.
We have had almost 350 episodes.
Yes,
sometimes I do remember that show, and you did a great job of co-hosting on that. I want to mention that we have had some people in the chat room, and right now we have Chuck Skull in the chat room, and I'm hoping that Chuck heard us mention that the show that he was on, Special Effects Wizardry with Dragon Drone, was the sixth most listened to episodes during the past 12 months on Movie Addict Headquarters. So congratulations, Chuck, and thank you for joining us in the chat room. And also, Iona Traylor was there from George Bettinger's Mom and Pop Shop show, and she said congratulations and was very, very complimentary about the show so far. So I don't want to forget our chatters. Were there any episodes that you'd like to mention, AJ? All time episodes, not just last year.
Oh, absolutely! It's always great to come on whenever you have your summer or fall preview episode. That gives me a chance to finally, you know, look through the upcoming schedule and see what's all coming out. You know, not only in theaters but on DVD and Blu-ray and stuff to remind viewers, like, hey, here's all this cool stuff coming out to check it out. So I always like revisiting those episodes. And I also really enjoyed the presidential debate episode where myself and then a few other guests had come on to make our case for who the best movie president was. And I remember I chose Morgan Freeman from Deep Impact as the greatest movie president, because, you know, when a catastrophic meteor is heading towards Earth, you know, Morgan Freeman, he's the kind of guy who will help you keep your cool, so in that very much high-stress situation. So I had my vote for him. And also, just personally, one of my favorite appearances, or one of my favorite topics to discuss when you had me on was about werewolf movies, and this was right after the remake of The Wolfman had come out, and that was such a letdown. And so then, instead of like focusing on the negativity of it, you know, you gave me a platform to talk about what is my favorite old school Universal monster movie, the original Wolfman with Lon Chaney Jr., and horror movies in general. Anytime I get a chance to talk about those and geek out about that is always a good time. So those would be some of my favorite episodes.
Oh, I like those too, and I would toss in there your debate, Aliens versus Monsters. I
mm-hmm.
thought that one I think was on our top 10 list last year. So those are episodes for listeners to check out on the archives. And I'm just going to take a few minutes here for a couple of promos, and then we'll come back and I'll talk about my favorite episodes.
You're listening to Movie Attic Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker. She's the real deal in what's happening on film. And if you're not real careful, you might hear the confessions of a movie addict. So get your popcorn and stay right there in your seat for Movie Attic Headquarters. And now back to our feature.
Hi, comedian Nancy Lombardo here, host of Comedy Concepts Blog Talk Radio. And when I need my movie fix, you'll know where I'll be found. That's right, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., listening to Betty Jo Tucker on Movie Attic Headquarters Blog Talk Radio. Show me the funny, Betty. Show me the funny.
I don't have the money to show Nancy Lombardo, but I did order her. I did order her CD last week, which is just great, and it's called Jazz Housewife. And Steve Mendoza is in the chat room, and I want to thank him for that great promo. I really appreciate it, as well as the one that Nancy Lombardo did for us. And of course, you can catch Steve Mendoza on Dreamstream Radio. He has some wonderful shows. That's the same network that George Bettinger has. And you can hear Nancy Lombardo here on Blog Talk Radio with Comedy Concepts. It's just a hilarious show. It's on Mondays and Fridays, almost every Monday and every Friday at 10:30 Eastern Time. Well, okay, now I get to give my favorites, and it's just so hard. It really is hard. Because I mentioned before, every show is a favorite. But I do want to mention how much I treasure our two Christmases show with George and Lizette Bettinger reading the first chapter of It Had to Be Us, which is the little romantic memoir that my husband and I wrote under the pen names of Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence. At the bottom of that episode, filmmaker Misha Zubarev came on and explained why he is involved in translating that romantic memoir to a film, and of course that thrills me even more. And other shows and guests that come to mind are Lorna Luft reminiscing about Judy Garland, Debbie Reynolds inviting herself to James Colt Harrison's house in La Jolla. Now, James, you remember that.
She can come anytime she wants.
Exactly. I don't think she showed up. She showed up yet, but I thought that
I
was
I love Debbie. Yeah, I love Debbie. Yeah.
It was just great. And then the great Tony Babbino, I hadn't heard of him before, but George Bettinger told me that there was a Tony Babbino who could do a great Al Jolson impression. And when he came on, I was just floored with everything that he's doing and about how much he sounds like Al Jolson with his songs. And then recently I did an episode called Godzilla and Me, and I didn't expect any conflict with that because I was just giving my impressions about the movie. And then the last part of the episode, Nancy Lombardo came on, and Nikki was there, and the two of them got into quite an interesting fight over Godzilla movies. I really enjoyed that, so that would be something to listen to. Then actress Tana Frederick, which, by the way, James, I think you're the one that referred Tana Frederick to me, and she's been on the show several. Yeah, she's been on several times. When she was on the time before last, she received 16 calls from her fans, and that is a record. And then I really enjoyed J. Blair Brown, who is a media consultant. She was on, and her clients called in raving about her work with them, and that was so interesting. And Barry Bostwick, every time he's been on with us, he's just a delight. Mac Bates and Neil Minow talking about teachers on film recently was fascinating. And so many filmmakers like Stephen Simon, Von Regensberger, Emmanuel Achier, David Wirth, Henry Jaglom. I'm just so afraid I'm going to be forgetting people. They're just wonderful to listen to. And film critic Phil Hall talking about the greatest bad movies of all time. I could just go on and on. It's just been so rewarding to have all of these wonderful guests call in, and I'm just so appreciative. Now, AJ, I think we have time for one more question. What else would you like to know from me about Movie Addict Headquarters?
All right, as Betty Jo, as we mentioned before, 7 years, that's a lot of movies to talk about. It's a lot of people from various, aspects of the film industry, from the directors and actors to people like us who just love talking about them and love writing about them. But from that entire group, from all the people who have ever been a guest on Movie Addict Headquarters, who is the one who people have tuned into the most? Who's been the most popular guest in Movie Addict history?
Well, that's probably no surprise, AJ. Cloris Leachman has close to 1 million listeners on Movie Addict Headquarters. 1 million. And she was, of course, the top, the winner of the most listened to award last year. What fun it was to have her on the show. And we do happen to have a clip. It's a short one of Cloris when we talked with her right after her autobiography was released. She really did more of a comedy ambush than an interview. I just kind of had to just let, go with the flow on that one. And again, you kind of have to laugh and at practically everything she says. But you'll get some idea of how she took over the show from this clip, which I'm going to play right now. I'm just so impressed with the way you did, of course, include all aspects of your life. You talked about your career, your family, your friends, and your honest feelings. Right, and your honest feelings about everything that's happened to you. But my favorite books, part of the book was, and I have to admit this, were those behind-the-scenes showbiz anecdotes that you share with readers. I am still chuckling over the actor studio stories about Marlon Brando, and, about the chicken and your imitation of a lizard. Which one of those was your favorite? And could you tell our listeners a little bit about Marlon Brando,
the
actor studio? Well, yeah, one of the stories, right, about the chicken or your imitation of a lizard.
No, I like the one where we had to use objects, or we had to do things without something. For instance, one person got up and he was going to show us how you peel a banana without the banana. So
right, I remember that one too.
So he put his left hand up and he started peeling very, 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 very carefully. Very carefully down, down, and then took another little piece on the top and started pulling it down, 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 and started with the next, and he said, "Oh my God, oh my God, I can smell it." He thought the scent was, he was doing such a magnificent job that he could smell it. I was sitting in the second row eating a banana.
That's a great story. And if I remember correctly, you had some mixed feelings about your experience with the Actors Studio. Is that right?
No, that isn't true. No. I loved it beyond words. You can't imagine how much it meant to me what an extraordinary part of my life it was, and I credit it almost entirely with making me better than I could have been. And, well, Anna brought me my most wonderful homemade soup. Oh, what is it? Potato, celery, leeks. Oh, yum. Mm, yum. Mm.
I can smell it. I wonder if my husband's eating soup in the next room.
Think he would.
I know she's making me hungry. So.
Well, if I eat something, would it sound like...
Cloris, you kind of had a reputation of being Peck's bad girl there for a while, didn't you?
Well, I think I still do.
No doubt about it. Cloris was quite memorable, and I think she's telling the truth when she admits to still being Peck's bad girl. And we did have a lot of fun with Cloris, but you can tell she brought her. She wouldn't let me get away with anything. I mean, I would ask something, she'd say, "No, that wasn't right," and then I was getting called down, you know, throughout the interview. And I love the fact she brought her own sound effects with the soup, and she brought her son with her, who was her manager at the time, and he was absolutely delightful. We did get her to talk about Mel Brooks and her work with Mel Brooks, and she had a lot of revealing things to share about that time in her life. So, dear listeners, that's definitely an episode that you'll want to check out in the archives. Even if you've heard it once before, it's worth another listen. And I want to congratulate Cloris for all her many acting achievements and for being second year in a row the most listened to guest on Movie Addict Headquarters. And now I'd like to talk a little bit about the four film-related books we're giving away today in our random book drawing. But before I do that, I should mention that if you want to take part in this random book drawing, all you need to do is send an email to me at realtalk@comcast.net. And that's R-E-E-L at comcast.net. And you need to put the... in the subject area, book drawing, and I do need to have that email by August 1st, and that's 2014, of course. But here are the four books, and I think they're all worth reading. Me and Orson Welles by Robert Kaplow. Now, I'm going to ask Diana if this is I have the book. Now, am I right in saying that Me and Orson Welles was made into a movie with Zac Efron?
Yes.
And what did you think of the movie?
I liked it. It didn't really get that big of a buzz, but I found it very interesting. I liked it, and I think it was good performances. I think Zac was good, and it's been a while since I don't remember a lot what I said, but I did enjoy it.
Well, the book is great. So that's why I thought our Movie Addict listeners would enjoy hearing a little different story or reading a little different story about Orson Welles. And then the second book is Hollywood or Bust by Susan Marg. And, of course, that Susan Marg and her interview about that book is one of our top 10 most listened to episodes for the past year. So that book is just a gem for any movie addict. And remember the title that I gave you, the subtitle, Movie Stars Dish on Following Their Dreams, Making It Big, and Surviving in Tinseltown. And James, I believe you were the co-host on that show.
I was.
How did you think Susan did in that interview?
Well, obviously she was marvelous because she got into a lot of the inside stories about Hollywood that everybody likes to hear. That's why so many movie fans are crazy, because they like to know the dirt and the truth behind how movies are made. So it's a fun thing to read. It's interesting. It's informative. And I'm sure it's still available, so go out and get it.
Right, or enter the book drawing, and maybe I'll be the one that gets to receive a free copy of Hollywood or Bust. The third book everybody knows about, it's Confessions of a Movie Addict by Betty Jo Tucker, and I've talked enough about that during many, many episodes. And the fourth book is It Had to Be Us, which I think all my listeners know about, by Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence, which is the little romantic memoir, award-winning, that's a shameless plug, and is now being in the early stages of film development. So don't forget to participate in this drawing. Just send me an email at realtalk@comcast.net with book drawing in the subject line, and the deadline is Friday, August 1st, 2014. Now, the way that will work is whoever's name is pulled out first will get to choose among those four books, and then the second one will get to choose from the ones left and so on down the line. So I think that's a pretty fair way to handle it. Well, I want to take this time now just to thank everyone who's been here today on this show. It really has meant a lot to me, the callers and the chatters, and I appreciate everyone's participation. But I'm sorry to say that even though we extended the time to 60 minutes, it's almost up, and I want to let everyone know how much I've appreciated the opportunity to host this show the past 7 years. And the support we've received from Blog Talk Radio, almost every one of our episodes has been featured, and many of them have been picked as the best podcast of the day, and that too means a lot to us. Also, Nikki Starr, for everything that she's done to make Movie Addict Headquarters happen, Morgan Lawrence, Jazz Shaw, and our other regular film critics, like the Mad Movie Man, and Nell Minow, and Diana Sanger, and James Cold Harrison, and Mac Bates, and Richard Jack Smith, and all of our fascinating guests and chatters. We have some very loyal listeners that I want to give a big shout-out to. Jane Bernard, Judy Joy Jones, Kat Vecchione, Fausta Rodriguez-Wertz, and Nancy Lombardo, and I just hope I'm not leaving anyone else. And special thanks to the Wacko Network folks and Steve Mendoza from Dreamstream Radio for their enthusiastic support, as well as to Richard B. Smart, Neil Haley, and Danny Dyer for their technical help. Thanks also to Amy Domestico and John Sweet for their valuable assistance, as well as to Misha Zubarev for referring such interesting guests to our show, and to Alan Levy for starting this almost miraculous technology that allows us to have fun with movies every Tuesday. And a big shout-out to Will Griffiths for the show's spirited intro, and to A.J. Daniels for our first outro music. And, of course, to all our listeners. Well, it's been great fun today, but it's time to wrap things up now, and I hope everyone enjoyed our 7th anniversary party. I know I sure did. We do have time for a last comment from AJ, James, and Diana. So, Diana, you're on right now.
It was a wonderful show, Betty Jo, and just trying to keep all those wonderful shows in our mind is just mind-boggling how you've pulled it all off. You're such a special person. We love you and everything you do, and we appreciate all your wonderful ties to movies, which we're all absolutely nuts about. I don't know why.
Well said. Thank you so much, Diana and James.
Oh, Betty Jo, you know I've always loved you for years. Don't tell Larry, but anyway, I do. And thank you so much for having. Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, even though I have no talent.
Oh, and definitely you have many, many, many talents, and we're always so happy, and it's so much fun when you're on the show. And AJ, the final word.
Betty Jo, I want to thank you for having me on this show, all the other shows you've had me on, and for reaching out to me when I was a teenage movie fan back in high school and putting me on Real Talk Reviews and giving me one of the first big outlets that I ever had for my writing. I'm forever grateful and appreciative of that.
And I have enjoyed every minute of it, and I'm so happy that that you came into my life when I was writing Confessions of a Movie Addict, and I included you as somebody who has as much passion for films, as almost as much obsession with films as I do. So thank you again, AJ, Diana, and James. And that's all for now, folks. So here's Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke to take us out with a song that explains how Nikki and I feel about the past 7 years of Movie Addict Headquarters on Blog Talk Radio. There's only one word to describe it, and that word is, you guessed it,
it's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Because I was afraid to speak when I was just a lad, my father gave me nails at week and told me I was bad. But then one day I learned a word that saved me eight and nose.
The biggest word you ever heard, and this is how it goes. Oh, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
He traveled all around the world, and everywhere he went, he'd use his word and always say, there goes a clever gent.
When Dukes and Martha Rogers pass a time of day with me, I say me special word and leave me off me off to tea.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious.
Docious alleyxpiastic fragicalibufus, but that's going a bit too far, don't you think?
Indubitably.
So when the cat has got your tongue, there's no need for dismay. Just summon up this word, and then you've got a lot to say. But better use it carefully, or it could change your life.
For example?
Yes?
One night I said it to me girl, and now me girl's me wife. Oh, and a lovely thing she is, too.
Good, where anyone